You know, the Feast of Trumpets is traditionally a day of beginnings. The Feast of Trumpets always occurs on the first day of the seventh month. This is the first day of the seventh month. You know, often in the Bible, seven is featured as a number of completion. And you know, the Feast of Trumpets, the holy days, begin the completion of God's plan. The final four holy days occurring in the seventh month. And the Jews put a lot of importance on the Feast of Trumpets. Jewish tradition holds that the 7 days of creation concluded on the Feast of Trumpets. So the Feast of Trumpets begins the Jewish civil year. Since they count the years since the creation from that day, and that, you know, the Bible indicates that Christ was more than likely born in the fall of the year, and some have speculated even Christ may have been born on this day. We don't know that. The Feast of Trumpets also speculating his coming to the earth occurred on this day, his first occurrence to the earth being born on the Feast of Trumpets. However, we know that, you know, that's speculation. But we do know, it's not speculation, that the Feast of Trumpets does represent that Christ is coming back to this earth. We know that Christ is coming back because he told us he was coming back. His feet was going to touch down the Mount of Olives. He's coming back this time, not as a baby, but as King of Kings. You know, in the book of John describes seven miracles that Christ performed. And it's interesting that these miracles can carry a powerful analogy to each of God's holy days. And today, you know, each miracle being an analogy to one of God's holy days, this has been applied to various people, you know, applying analogy, trying to teach a point. Today I'd like to examine one of these miracles. And by looking at this analogy, it'll help us apply a few principles of the Feast of Trumpets to our daily lives, an example from the Bible. And we find the fourth miracle possibly carries an analogy to the fourth holy day, the Feast of Trumpets, in the sixth chapter of John. And we find this miracle in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And if we begin in verse 5 of John chapter 6, we find that Jesus looked up and saw this great crowd of people coming toward him. And notice what he said in verse 5. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" You know, in our society today, we know that we don't have large groups of people coming to seek Jesus Christ out, wanting to obey, seek God's way of life. We just don't see that. But we know with the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, the return of Christ as King of Kings, we will have people at that point seeking God's way. They'll be fed up with this world. They'll be coming to Christ, wanting to go that way. You know, there's going to be a crowd, a multitude, seeking God's way of life at that time. You know, we can read in Isaiah of these remnant coming out of the slave camps at the return of Jesus Christ. And we find that this is a poor, feeble group of people, you know, coming out of slavery, coming out of those prison camps, possibly out of Europe and other places, after similar to what occurred after World War II, all these people returning out of the prison camps, out of the Nazi prison camps. It was a very sad situation. And this situation is even going to be more sad at that time. And it's going to be a huge group of men, women, and children who've been terribly mistreated by the hands of their oppressors. And it's going to be a group of not very impressive people coming out of these prison camps at that time. And they're going to be brought into the Promised Land, probably not much to look at, probably dressed in rags. Perhaps we'll even recognize some of these people, maybe as some of our friends, neighbors, maybe some relatives of ours. People who have survived the tribulation. You know, they've experienced the ultimate in this world's way of life, in Satan's way. They're the end result of that. What we see going on in this world today, this is the end result. And it's going to be people at that time who are going to yearn for God's way. They won't yearn for a way, for a change. They'll be yearning for God's way of life at that point. They may have been half-starved physically, but individuals who, more importantly, have been starved spiritually, and they want to be fed spiritually. Those who want God's way of life, you know, at the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, we'll have those coming to Christ, the new king, that will be coming to him wanting to be fed. In verse 5, with the multitude coming to Christ to be fed, he asked Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Where are we going to get bread? Then verse 6, notice what it says here. But this he said to test him. It was a test. For he himself knew what he would do. He was only doing this to test, for in mind, Christ already knew what he was going to do. And you know, Christ isn't going to come to a time when he comes back to this earth and suddenly realize that all these people coming out of the prisons in the various ways of life need to be fed. It states here that Christ already knew how he was going to feed the multitude, that he had a plan. You know, because this world does not understand the Feast of Trumpets, very few know what Christ is doing today. Very few know that. But we know he's not going to wait to the last minute to realize these starving people, these people starving spiritually, need food. Christ is planning, he's preparing that right now. How to feed this multitude, how to feed them spiritually at the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. You know, Christ is preparing a people now. He's preparing a people to feed that multitude. And brethren, whether you realize or not, he has chosen each of us. He has chosen us for that job. He is preparing us to be ready to feed those people, to be ready to do a job when that trumpet sounds. But brethren, you know, in a sense, we're already fulfilling that today. We're fulfilling that every day, each day of our lives. Not only the silver trumpet, which on that last day, the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, which will announce the coming of the King, but also awaken the saints in their graves to the resurrection. And brethren, we can celebrate that each day of our lives. You know, the silver trumpet keep us awake spiritually, to keep us growing, to keep us overcoming in this age. But you know, we're going to also hear the other trumpet. We're going to hear the shofar, the trumpet of war. And brethren, it can remind us on a daily basis that we are at war now. We are at war now. We're engaged in a war with Satan. We're engaged in a war with this society. And brethren, we're also engaged in a war with ourselves, with our human nature. And that these trumpets can remind us of our obligations, our responsibility today and into the future. And it also remind us of God's plan, or Christ's plan, to prepare us now to be able to feed the multitudes at the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. Let's look at verse 7. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. He knew how much food they had on hand there, and he knew how he could see the crowd that had gathered there at Christ. He could see that it would take a lot more food than what was available right there at the point. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will that go among so many? You know, it's natural for us to look at ourselves and be like Philip and Andrew and see the enormity of the job that lies ahead. And brethren, we are a few, just like those 5 fishes, or 5 small loaves and 3 fishes. you know, perhaps at times we do, we too become discouraged and think about the job that it's out there to be done. It seems like an impossible task. Verse 10, we see kind of a calming effect here. And Jesus said, have the people sit down. There's plenty of grass in this place. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Here was Christ taking charge, part of the plan. Have the people sit down. It's interesting that the origin of the word grass here, it means a feeding place, like a shepherd feeding grass for the sheep. Spiritually, a place for teaching. In the account in Mark, he mentions they sat down in rows by hundreds and by fifties. A structured, orderly environment for teaching, to be fed the spiritual food. And brethren, this shows that this was not haphazard. It was planned. Christ had planned this. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who received as much as they wanted. Notice that. Each got as much as he wanted. He did the same with the fish. And we've seen from verse 11, even though we may be few in number, and we know that we're limited in ability, but brethren, when we yield ourselves and place ourselves in the hands of Jesus Christ, miracles can be performed. You know, just as a few loaves and the two fish were able to satisfy the multitudes in this miracle, brethren, to us, if we will yield to Christ, if we place ourselves in His hand, a greater miracle can be performed. He will give us the ability to feed the multitude spiritually, not just with the physical food, but with the spiritual, to be able to teach spiritually. But you know, brethren, our Feast of Trumpets right now is to yield ourselves, to take advantage of the opportunities that God has given us, to prepare to become teachers, including teaching by our example, and to practice this teaching. Notice verse 11. And when they had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. You know, this statement really offers us real hope, that nothing will be lost, that our calling right now is not going to end in failure. The only way we can fail is for us to quit, to give up. Because Christ said he wouldn't forsake us. You know, it's a calling God gave us. He knew we'd be successful before he called us. He knew that. He wouldn't have called us to failure. And the Feast of Trumpets represents success, not failure. Verse 13. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who were eating. And you know, as mentioned about the number 7, oftentimes in the Bible, the number 12 is a number symbolizing perfection in government. The 12 loaves could represent symbolizing perfection in government when the Feast of Trumpets is fulfilled. This will be the perfect government. You know, we've been 6,000 years of imperfect government. You know, when the government of God is restored, it will be, brethren, a perfect. We don't have to worry about it. It will be a perfect government. A government which we've been called to have a part in, imperfect people like us, to have a part in a perfect government. Verse 14, after the people saw this miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who's coming into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Brethren, only when this day is totally fulfilled, they won't try to make him king at that point. For they will know that a king has come. They will know it without doubt. We will all know it without doubt. You know, today we've studied this miracle of Christ feeding the multitudes. And we can also see that Christ is performing a miracle in each of our lives, that he's fulfilling the Feast of Trumpets in our lives. He's doing it, brethren, on a daily basis, if we'll just let him. You know, he's preparing us now. He's preparing us to be teachers in order to feed those starving multitudes who will be begging for spiritual food. He's doing that in order that we will be ready when that final trumpet sounds. And Jesus Christ looks at us and says, "Feed my sheep." Brethren, today we are going to take up an offering. If anybody needs an envelope,